Welcome to All Learning Reimagined, the podcast that defines convention and redefines the purpose and practice of education. Here we venture beyond institutional boundaries. Whether you're a parent, educator, or curious mind devoted to lifelong growth, this is your space to challenge assumptions and co-create a more humane and intuitive approach to education. Let's reimagine what education can be.
G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. And I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. Today I have an amazing guest, Leah, who's got 10 years experience teaching, six of those years sharing meditation and sound healing while learning and studying singing and performance, and 4 years teaching singing to our children as young as four, and of course our young ones as up to 70 plus years, which is pretty exciting. And Leah's immersed herself in music production and songwriting for over 20 years. So that's amazing. I just love music. And as a teen, Leah and her brother rapped in a group and they brought together lots of little projects along the way. So welcome, Leah.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, before we dive into questions today, we were actually going to share something special with the audience. So let's play that and then we will and then we'll dive in and have a conversation.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Children. It's not starting.
With my niece about a year ago or 10 months or something ago. So she'd been learning and singing for a little bit with me, and we worked on this one for about 6 weeks, and then she learned the lyrics and she was working on it, and then I went to the countryside because we've been doing remote learning via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I went to the country with recording a karaoke track that she could read, and we also videoed it at the same time. So there is the potential of doing a video down the track. But that's just an example of something that I've done with the kids to, you know, work on them having a voice to share them singing and having fun with it, but also an introduction into songwriting. So yeah.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It just warms my heart. And you can't not love the song itself, but just hearing their voice and the innocence of their voice and pouring into their energy. Oh, it's just makes my heart melt. I love it. I absolutely love it. And so How do you actually help children find their voice?
Yeah, well, it's my what I teach is singing, so it's really about them moving through the layers or the blocks of inhibition, because you know, kids are no different than adults. We're the same as them. It goes both ways. But anything that we don't aren't practiced in is a little bit daunting, and so it takes some time to move through these inhibitions by giving things a go. And initially, it's a little bit funny, and you know, I give these little drills, bubbles and trills, and different soundings, and gaga, goo-goo, and all these different types of sounds, and they just kind of laugh with it. And we laugh off all that, you know, way of thinking that perhaps limits the mind as being, oh, I'm silly or I'm stupid or whatever it is, and they just give it a go. But by the end of it, you know, we. At the end of a session, after doing all these warm-ups, the voice is nice and rich and ready to go. And then we'll dive into a song that they are working with or that they like. So they pick a song that resonates with them. It might be something that they work on for a week or two, or they move through them right quite quickly. Or might be something that they're working on if they're doing a play or something like this, a song that is in the musical. Mm-hmm. And it just helps to give them the esteem to show up because they're practiced, they're ready, they're prepared. Letting go of, you know, the mind that's saying, oh, I can't do that. Oh, no, 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 you know. they step into, oh, okay. And this confidence that the transformation that I see in kids and adults as well, when they start to, you know, a few weeks down the track, is quite phenomenal, and it's really rewarding to see as well. But yeah, I think from that they then can put that esteem they've built into anything that they do, really. You know, it's just knowing that they can have a voice and they can speak and they can be heard and seen, you know. So
And what a playful way to do it. Yeah. It sounds so much fun. I love it. And I probably should have started with this question. So why do you think that music is important when it comes to children or even education?
Yeah, I think music is a wonderful teacher. So whether you start with singing or guitar or bass or flute or whatever instrument you choose, you kind of suck at it at the beginning, yeah? And you...
Yes, I can understand that.
I can move through these layers and layers of, oh my gosh, I sound so crap. I can't be seen like this. This is shameful, and so on and so forth. Yeah. But then you just keep at it, you know, and you've got an encourager there that's helping you to move through those layers. And over time, that, you know, you just have more patience with yourself. And so there's this kind of healing aspect to it. Whether you're a kid or an adult, you know, it's kind of all the same type of thing. And yeah, music brings us together. It's a way of being seen in our vulnerability, to show up, to play, to make mistakes and be okay with that. I think that is one of the biggest, the wonderful thing that you can take away from learning an instrument is that you actually learn that mistakes are great. They add to the piece of music that you're working on. But I mean, there's so many layers when it comes to why music is important. But yeah, I think mostly it creates connection between people. We and kids, they love seeing their peers up there on stage or sharing something with them, and vice versa, they love to receive when their peers are sharing that, as we do as adults. And so it's one thing that technology and you know, our phones or the computer can't create. It comes through that being together and sharing something, and all of what comes with being vulnerable and giving it a go. And it's okay if it's not perfect as well. You're okay. You're seen, and you're a part of the family. You know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's beautiful.
Music just It touches upon every emotion. It doesn't matter what mood I'm in. There's always some type of music that can actually touch that space. And I love how you mentioned that music can heal, and it just touches your soul, something inside of you. And I've observed that when I'm singing, I stop thinking. I can't think when I sing. So I'm actually fully present. And that's an absolute gift as well, definitely. But so question for you, can you tell a story about a positive influence of music? I know you're talking generally, but is there a specific example you could give us?
Yeah, well, a positive example of music and even connection is, you know, when we came out of lockdown, I remember it was the first concert that I actually walked past and, you know, was in Elwood here in an open space, and it was Xavier Rudd's singing Spirit Bird, which quite a popular, and it was the last song of the evening. It was in the nighttime. And just having people gather there together and listen to one person share that spirit, that sound, that song, whether, you know, the drums, the guitar, the voice, all of this, you could just feel this energy in the space. Everyone just dropped in, and it was this real moment of, oh my goodness, this is what we have been missing for the last however many months that we've been experiencing all this isolation. And it's that, because, you know, when one person is up there okay to share themselves and share their voice in that moment in front of all these people, it's not just that one that's on stage that's singing, it's actually the people that are there that are as much a part of the expression as is the one singing. And so you're all there together. It's a story. It's a conversation. And but it's that connection, and that what brings us great joy is music and sharing, connecting with conversation as well. And music is a conversation. It's all words and vibration as well. So yeah, it's kind of in the same space as speaking as well. Just different in the sense. It's an expression of emotion, so it helps us to move through perhaps things we don't want to talk about. But song, allow that expression to come through, you know, and you can feel it.
Yeah.
And that's so, what's healing about it then.
Feel it. Yeah, it's, and the weaving, I can imagine being in the crowd and you can feel the weaving of the energy through everybody. It links you all together and brings you together. Music is... oh, it's just so powerful. And so, and then that leads me to the whole rise of using AI to write songs today. I mean, there's a big push for or against using artificial intelligence. And I know you've got a bachelor in songwriting. So do you have an opinion on this, on the use of AI in creation of music today?
Yeah, it's such a big topic. My goodness. Yeah, it just, you know, it just feels so wrong. I've got to say, people can have a beautiful piece of poetry, which is lovely, yeah, and they can, on a whim, go into a music, an AI constructing program, and AI can bring all these chords together and literally spit out within 3 minutes a perfectly recorded in a perfect recording studio, the sound, the perfectly crafted in terms of the standards of a released song that's famous today, for example, in 3 minutes. And it's such a shame, because it's not vibrationally connected with the moment, with time, with the spiritual aspect of song and sharing those words. So all of a sudden, some artificial sound has spoken those words, but that is a very different ripple to receiving than somebody actually recording their voice, you know, to connect with what do you call it, other artists, guitarists and drummers and all these people that are playing the instruments, bringing a band together or saying, hey, I've got this great idea. Would you be interested in crafting something similar to this or that, or you know, the rewards of bringing people together to create the song, the time it takes to sit with how you want it to sound, what sounds right, what doesn't, or what layers you want to add to it, then how you're going to record it. There are so many layers to making a song, but the time that it takes, you might think that that is, oh, well, you know, you can make it a lot faster, but the rewards are nowhere near as beneficial as taking the time to, you know, craft it with other people and give your music the time to flourish and naturally evolve, and then to share it with people. Yeah, there's so much about AI that's it can be a helpful tool, but when it comes to music, I don't think it's helpful at all.
Yeah. So what's a bit of process then? Like, what's your process to craft music? How do you do it?
Yeah, well, it's actually an interesting thing as well, because I'll just, before I speak on that, I'll just express that when I was doing my songwriting course, The Bachelor, I had found this wonderful technique of singing in the moment and recording a little snippet of myself to then go back to the keyboard and find the chords that I was singing in. Mm-hmm. And then go, oh, so I'm actually in this key, and then I'll move it over here and I can actually go over there to do, you know. So I would then spend the time to, sometimes I will just sound out the mode or the motion of the emotion that I want to actually get off in that moment. I won't use words, or sometimes I will, mm-hmm. and then I'll go back and find the lyrics that go with that sound. But what had happened is I started to really find, oh goodness, I could find that, and then I can actually write the chord chart out, the timing that it's in. I can write out when the chord changes are, the melody, and all of these types of things, which is really rich and rewarding. And I was ready to go with that. But my teachers, my lecturers, because from the top down, they have this technical structure that they just implement in to get the grades, to get the marks, to move whatever they have in mind ahead, it put a stop on me taking what was going in a really wonderful direction and taking me elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And so this momentum was building to do something quite wonderful, but then all of a sudden I had to go on to projects that would only incorporate electronic drums and electronic sounds, and, you know, to move forward. And it's not to say that they're not helpful techniques to move with, but it's just that there wasn't a space in the course to open up to, oh, something's really working for you. You need to go with that and craft it and live into it, because that's your little baby there, you know? But these days at the moment I'm working on learning bossa nova, which I'm not as well practiced. So, but just getting a new technique down, and then once I've learned what I need to learn, then I'll find some chords that I like, some styling of singing. And then I actually want to take students out with me and do some busking. So I'll craft the songs quite nice, memorize them, use a little bit of recording to grab snippets so that I get all the pieces together. Mm-hmm. And then after I've performed them a couple of times, then go into the recording studio and record them then.
Wow. That sounds amazing. So much to the process. There's so many layers, isn't there?
There are a lot of layers. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And then you remit, like, I know you've mentioned recording equipment, and we heard the beautiful example with the children singing at the beginning of the show. So what sorts of things can you do in a learning setting using recording equipment? So if there's someone listening to this right now thinking, I want to have a go at that, what's a suggestion that you could give them to on how you could use recording equipment in a learning setting?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of apps that you can use to record voice and sound, even on your phone, and you can download. I don't know that there would be free programs. I think there is a, what's the program called? Garage Band, things like this, where
I've used that for years.
There you go. So, yeah, so you just, you go in there and you select some things and you can record your voice, and that's an introduction to giving it a going and having a play. So there's so many different avenues. So I guess in a learning environment, you would give that as one option. You would also give another option for students to learn whatever instrument it is that they want to learn, and to build their own songs naturally that way, and then record them as easy as just hitting record on the phone, you know, a recording app. Mm-hmm. And it's just enough to get the raw file and idea, so that you, when you're ready, you know, you can source somebody that has the professional recording equipment, and then you set up the microphones to the guitar, for example, the microphone for the voice, and then you record them at the same time and you get these beautiful, rich sounds. So there's limits to what the phones can do. They do a lot, but it is different when you go into a recording studio and you're able to isolate certain sounds and do layers and all these types of things. Saying that, a lot I don't have the apps on the phones, but anyway, it's another story.
It sounds like fun just to be able to play. I've always envisaged having a studio that has every instrument imaginable from any country you can possibly imagine, and then that people could come in for free and just do jam sessions and just create and play and record on the spot just for fun, not for anything commercial, not for money making, not even to look good, just to be playful with lots of genres and sounds and tunes and using voice. And it's always been something that I imagined would be created. And I don't know why or where it even comes from, but I just would love to see something like that in our learning settings. I mean, in mainstream music's often taught as a separate subject in schooling settings in general, and it's taught as an add-on or something that's extra. So, you know, what do you think your ideal music program would look like if it was up to you?
Yeah, I think, and I was just going to say too, with what you just said, that's how songs come together. You get a whole bunch of artists in a room and they're just jamming. There's a song in a moment.
Beautiful. Love it.
But, yeah, in a learning environment, I think to see where kids navigate towards one particular instrument over another, if you had teachers that were able to do one-on-one sessions to help them work on their own connection with the instrument and how to technically express it, to learn the basics and then more complex aspects of the instrument. So there's that part where they start to develop their own abilities with an instrument or instruments. And then there would be classes where you collaborate and you bring the drummer, the guitarist, the singer, as an example, the bass, and you are challenged to somehow bring something together over a term, and then you're able to perform it in another term or that term, and you're able to record it in another class or term. There would be some kind of listening aspect where you look at intervals so you can start to hear and also listen to other people playing these types of things. It's one of those things you develop over time. The more that you listen for, say, what is a one and a three, you know, if you've got a major chord, then C is one, E is three, and G is five. So going from one to five is an interval. And if you played that and then you sing it back over time, you can start to hear these things in the music. It makes it easier to reach for different ideas because the learning is there. So, and I mean, that's just a starting point. Then there could be a class for lyric writing, sharing spoken word even, and how you record that. I was around rap, so that's a big part of my history. And, you know, it's not even about sounding good. Sometimes it's just about the expression and getting what you need to say off the chest, which is, yeah, really important, particularly in the days we're living in. So, yeah, there's
expression. Well, everything you described is much better than what, I mean, in my childhood, and it's happening also still in schools, we had to play the recorder, and I think it was Hot Cross Buns over and over again. And I'm telling you now, it was like a torture device. Like, so my apologies to anyone that likes the recorder, but give it in the hands of a child who's like 7 or 8 years old, and it's not fun. So there's so many other ways that we could do this, and everything you described definitely sounds like a step up, that's for sure.
I think too the aspect of being able to learn an instrument, whether it's singing, guitar or whatever, to build up a bit of confidence before you get into that group scenario, I think it really helps, especially as a kid, because I remember primary school as well. It's daunting because you know that how am I just a musician all of a sudden? How am I supposed to add to this? Do you know what I mean? Like when you're starting out, but given a task and you kind of get it, but it's a chore because you're not confident. You don't have anything practiced to give. But I think it can be a lot more enjoyable if the process, if it's set out in a different way.
I agree. We're running out of time, so I've got two more questions for you. So the first one is, I know you've started writing a book about singing, and that takes time and process, of course, and a lot of energy, but I just wanted to see how you're going with that.
Yeah, it's an interesting learning curve. At the beginning, there's so much energy and you just go for it. And then you have the blocks and the distractions and, oh, my goodness, I don't feel like I'm in the mood to write, et cetera. So I just take it chapter by chapter, but I'm also incorporating writing new songs into the book. So that's the writing is helping me to make songs and vice versa. And I have a journal, so I'm also journaling my experiences along with that. But I'm handwriting, so that's very rewarding. I enjoy writing just in general, even letter writing and all that type of thing. I came across a fantastic free webinar about at the start of the year in summertime. And Emily Gower is her name, and she gave me a wonderful way to, because we all have so much content. You know, you think about writing a book and it's one thing to go, what am I going to say? But once you start to unpack what you want to say, there's kind of almost too much, because we've all got about 20 books within us, you know, just start to offload it. But I had to, and this is always my biggest problem, I have so many ideas and I get distracted and I'm all over the shop. But I was able to craft how many words I thought would kind of work for what I'm trying to articulate, and some chapters that are important. And then I got post-it notes and put them all over the shop and then brought them together in a succinct way so that my story will kind of make sense. And now I literally have a list on the desktop. Oh, sorry, actually on my desk here, on a piece of paper. And I've got all the titles, and I'm just going one by one as to what I feel moved to explore, whether it's, you know, writing about a little bit of history, then I've got to do some research, and that's a different way of thinking. But I might be speaking about procrastination and writing a little essay about procrastination. So I'll sit with a cup of coffee or tea, hot chocolate, under some flowers, and, you know, in the kitchen in the sunlight, and right away. So yeah, that's kind of the process.
It sounds amazing, and I can't wait to read it. I know it takes a long time to get it finished and it's a work in progress, but it's still amazing how creative that space is, and it'll just flow when the timing is right. And you've got so much experience to share. This is why I love talking to you, Leah, because you've really inspired me. And I'm sure anyone who's listening as well that's thinking, hey, music, what can I do with this? And play in that space, which is really lovely. Final question for you today, although I could talk to you all day, is do you have any message that you would like to share with listeners who are sitting and inspired to go and play in the music space, whether it's using instruments or their voice?
Yeah, I think the most important point would be to give it a go. If you're sitting on the fence, if you've been thinking, I always wanted to play guitar or always wanted to use my voice, but there's that block or limitation, to just go, you know what, I'm going to book it in. I'm going to go try with, you know, if there's a lesson that I can go do, I'm going to go give it a go and just step into it and give it a shot, because it is so rewarding. And yeah, it's worth every moment spent. So yeah.
Fantastic. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I'm going to go and sing as soon as we finish this call, I think. And that's actually all we've got time for today. So thank you, Leah, for coming and sharing your expertise and your passion with us. We really appreciate it. And for everybody else, thanks for joining us on All Learning Reimagined. And until next week, explore, experience, express, definitely musically, and go out and live learning. Thanks, Leah.
Thank you. Have a great day, everybody. See you.
Thank you for joining us on All Learning Reimagined, where passion illuminates the path forward. Remember this: the future of learning doesn't arrive from above, it begins within. You are the spark, the shift, the living answer to education's silent call for transformation. So stay curious, stay awake. Let inspiration be your compass, because how we learn today is not just personal, it is profoundly generative. It shapes the very architecture of tomorrow's world. We are not separate from the system, we are its evolution. Until next time, trust the wisdom of your own unfolding and let your life be the lessons that light the way for others.